Welcome to the Not Indies podcast, hosted by yours truly, Kevin Thompson, founder and CEO of Not I Capital Group. Thank you guys for joining us. As I always say, subscribe to this channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB the CFP, live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at info@noticapitalgroup.com. Send us your questions, go to the website at www.noticapitalgroup.com. Schedule your appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. And today, we got a special guest for you, Catherine Tindall, CPA of Dominion. And we're going to talk a little bit about taxes. That's what I'm talking about, guys. Taxes. Catherine Tindall, welcome to the show. Let's get it. We have Catherine Tindall of Dominion Enterprise Services, partner, strategic tax planner there. Hey, Catherine, thank you for joining the Nine Innings podcast, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure having you on my show a couple of, was that like already months ago?
It was a while ago, but the beauty about taxes is that taxes never stop. And we just, we just turned the page, right? We just turned the page, and now we're all on that clock. That clock on whether it's your corporate returns, mm-hmm. your personal returns, and then you can just push those out to September and October. So we're on that wheel right now, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Because again, tax season is in full swing, right? We're ready to get this, and I'm glad you're giving me some time, because typically a person like yourself would be either talking to RIAs like myself, getting the tax returns and things like that, or IBDs, which again, who you work with. But we would just like tax professionals right now are putting themselves under a rock.
Yeah, like this is probably the last week before rock mode happens. Yeah.
Well, let's get into it a little bit, because I know taxes can be dry, but not on the show, because we're here to make the grass greener for people, right? We want to make people give less to the government and take more in their own pocket. So my first question to you is, a lot of people during this time want to get things done. What do you see some of the biggest mistakes people make during this time when they start filing their taxes? Like, what are some of the issues you find, even though I know you work with many RIAs and IBDs, you can reference us as well, but what are some of the mistakes that a lot of us make?
Yeah, so I think, the biggest mistake that I see. So my sphere has always been like business owners.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like two big categories, right? You have people who are business owners, real estate investors, like people who are really driving their own economic mm-hmm. outcome on a year-to-year basis with how they're getting taxed. And then you've got the other bucket of people who are W-2, where you're basically just locked into a certain kind of income treatment. There's not a lot you can do to offset that income unless you're going to get into like short-term rentals or something like that. There's just not a lot that you can do to shield that from income taxes. And so I think to maybe speak to, the business owner segment, like people who run firms, or just even if you work with business owners, the biggest mistake that I see that group make is this time of year is the first time that they're really seriously thinking about the income tax planning for the year. Because I find, a lot of times people will reach out in like November and December, and they're like, all right, now it's time to do our tax planning. And in my mind, it's like, well, this is something that we should have known back in May, right? Yeah. Like we should have had a rough forecast of what the performance of the business was going to be, because unless you're doing real estate or you're in activities that are really asset heavy, where it's a depreciation game that you're playing with the tax planning. Mm-hmm. If you're in professional services, there's no depreciation game. And so you're having to play a year-to-year game with how much profit is this entity kicking off, and how am I going to shield this profit by using discretionary expenditures to basically defer my growth into the future? That's the game. And so for a lot of advisors that I talk to or business owners where they're in that professional services space, the tax planning really needs to start like mid-year over the summer, because we need to be planning out, okay, if we're expecting that we're going to show X amount of profit, what are the next strategic deductions, the next strategic investments that will be tax deductible that we need to deploy now, so that we're not flying into November with a huge profit number hanging out and trying to buy like 6,000 pound SUVs. You know what I mean? It's like you haven't given yourself time to actually draw, you know, figure out how you're driving the business forward. So I would say that's the biggest mistake that I see people make, is that this is a lot of the planning ideas. Like if you really want to play the game, you have to play it on a profit management level. Yeah. That's really the best way to make it work. Everything else is peanuts, you know, other than you maybe like defined benefit, like cash balance plans where you can sock away a ton of money quickly. It's profit management. That's what it comes down to.
Profit management and paying your taxes, right? Because I don't want to be that guy, but you've seen it. Hey, well, you missed your last three quarterly payments, and now you got a big $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 hickey out here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, and by the way, we should have been having these conversations throughout the year, because we caught it, like you just said, we could have been kind of fixing the numbers to where, okay, now we know what the profits are, now we know what your payments are, versus just, here are all my numbers. Let's figure this out right now. How much should I pay myself? What is the profits going to look like? What's going to go to the K-1? Decisions. I know exactly what
you're
going through.
It all like clumps up, and then there's nothing we can do about it, right? Like I was just talking to an advisor earlier today, and I said, hey, can you send me your 2024 P&L so that I can see what you did? Not a client of ours, a prospect. And he was like, I don't have any of that stuff in information yet. And I'm like, how are you running this? Like, how do you know what you're doing? Like, you have no, like your windshield's completely, you know, caked up in mud. Like, how do we know, you know, what you did for a profit this year? And like, how do you know what the estimated payments that you made were even close to right? Like, if you don't know those, don't have something to look at. But it just needs to happen earlier than, you know, I always say good tax planning happens in the second quarter of the year. And
you're right. And the issue a lot of people have is that, are you going to be a financial advisor or are you going to be a business owner? And you got to figure out which one you're going to be. Are you running your business like a business, or are you trying to be a financial advisor and then back into the business? And I think a lot of financial advisors fall into that second category.
Yeah. No, it's true. Well, and because you grow up with strong technical skills, and running a business is just a different set of technical skills than advising. It just is. And then when you're doing that, you're not running the business. Like when you're working for somebody else as an advisor, like you're being mentored by somebody else, like you're in association, like it's technical sets of things and educating yourself and preferences and things. And then when you go into business ownership, like you have to recreate that whole environment for yourself and self-educate yourself if you don't have somebody that's, you know, giving you a path to walk along. So it's easy to cling to the wanting to stay like a technician person and not move into the business owner thing. But you got to, if you're running a practice, like you have to start thinking like that.
Have to start thinking like that. And that leads me to the next question. Like, what are some of the biggest audit triggers for business owners? Like we just mentioned, not paying your safe harbors or claiming too much in deductions, right? Like you got 3 or 4 years of losses. You haven't made any money in 5 years. So what are some of the biggest audit triggers you see for business owners in our arena?
Yeah. So I would say for advisors, the biggest audit triggers are things where, you know, if you are getting like 1099 personally, and then you're assigning that income over to an entity, that's just like, you're going to get flagged on a computer system for that, because that's just, you know, the IRS is deploying more AI tools to look for things. There have been court cases where assignment of income has been shot down and, you know, so they're looking for stuff like that. Another really big red flag is if you're operating out of like an S corp and you're way underpaying yourself.
Yeah.
I see advisors often lean in the opposite direction where they overpay themselves, you know, compensation. And so really the sweet spot here with the compensation issue, and this is something where people who are listening, just send me a DM on LinkedIn. I can send you how to deal with this. But you have to do what's called a reasonable compensation study. And that's just the best way to get the answer on that. But I find people do too much, and then people will do too little. Like I was talking to somebody earlier today where he's making $1 million a year, paying himself 10 grand on a W-2. And like, that's not going to work. But then I got other people where it's like they, you know, they're doing everything out as W-2 compensation in their S-corp, and they don't need to be.
Yeah.
You know, so it's it can go both ways. And, you know, IRS is, you're not going to get in trouble for the second one, but you're also, you know, you're tipping the IRS at that point. And like, do you want to be doing that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd say those are the bigger ones.
Yeah. The audit triggers are pivotal, because you don't want to get caught up in the audit. And we all know what's going on. Governments are being pushed to the limit. There's going to be, I'm just going to say it right now, there's going to be less and less staff all across the board, So it's either going to get worse in regards to, hey, I sent my tax return in about a year ago. I don't know what's going on with it. Or the people that are left. I mean, it's just the time horizons, in my opinion, because I think if staffing gets less and less, it's just going to get worse. But it is what it is. And I'm not going to politicize anything. I just think that when staffing gets cut across the board, we've already seen it with the Social Security Administration and all the other administrations out there. It just doesn't leave a lot to be desired. But again, We shall see what happens to our world. And when we start sending in forms and how quickly they get done, because if AI can do all of that, by all means, let's just spend the energy and do it and get things done. Here's another question for you. I know you are in the RIA and the IBD space. How can advisors like myself have a better working relationship with CPAs? I have a couple of CPAs out there that I have a great relationship with, my personal CPA, and of course Catherine here as well. But like, how can we have a better relationship and not be so sales minded or growth minded in our relationship?
Yeah. So you're talking about with like them as a center of influence, exactly, like as referral source. Yeah. So I would say the biggest one is leave us alone during tax season. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think it's the mindset with a lot of tax professionals. It's very, they are very protective of their clients, probably overprotective. They tend to be very risk adverse. Mm. If there's anything that's slightly gray, not happy with it, you know. And so I think in the relationships with CPAs, a lot comes down to getting them to trust your acumen as an advisor. And I think a lot of that comes down to, you do want to make sure that you're basically conversant in the income tax things, because tax professionals seem to think that that's the standard by which we're going to evaluate other people's competency a lot of the time. So it's good to make sure you're pretty well conversant on the income tax stuff. But, you know, I'd say in terms of if you're trying to have a CPA be a good referral source for you and have a good working relationship with them and vice versa, it's probably going to come down to things like on a business owner, you know, assuming that they run their own practice, you know, on a business owner to business owner level, building that kind of a relationship and sending them resources. And if you come across a business book that you like, sending them a copy of it, or, you know, I think even more than just like, oh, we'll take them out to lunch and, you know, talk about the kids and stuff like that. It's more, you know, actually build some real camaraderie with them. And I think understanding some of the challenges that they face, because in a lot of ways, the CPA firm model and the advisor model are similar. You know, like, we make sausages, you make hot dogs. It's a professional services business. It's a client service business. And it revolves around financial decisions where you have to get clients to get buy-in, to trust your judgment on different pieces of their situation. And I think, you know, approaching the tax professionals in that way is, you know, they're going to really appreciate that, and approaching them as in a less salesy, you know, approach, and more of a wanting to share technical acumen, I think is really appreciated by tax professionals. Because I think, you know, kind of one of the stigmas that the tax profession has of the wealth management industry is like, oh, this is just a sales role versus, you know, in a lot of ways, the areas of life that you all touch are far more expansive than what we touch with the taxes, right? Like, the U.S. tax code is really complex. And so I end up, in order for me to do good tax planning for people, like, we're having to talk about health you know, health spending and like all sorts of stuff. But it's like I only touch a fraction of people's lives versus what an advisor touches. And I think a lot of tax professionals, you know, there's some stigma there with the salesy thing. And so I think demonstrating to them the technical acumen, also just the like a level of fraternity with, you know, we're both building businesses. We're in similar businesses, similar business models. Here are things that are working for me. Like, what's working for you? Like, what are you struggling with? Like, connecting at that level is really nice as well. But honestly, I think a big part of it is finding it, and this is probably hard, is like finding tax professionals that you vibe with, you know, because I think you're going to hit a certain element of, there's a certain personality type that gets into my industry, and it can be hard to build a relationship with, you know, certain personality types. If you're ambitious and you're a builder and you go getter, and you know, that can be hard to have like a natural relationship there, but hopefully some nuggets of advice.
No, one thing I'll say is, if you're going to talk to a CPA, don't talk to them and bring up this new, hey, like you're the smartest person in the room. You know, you know there's advisors out there that come out, we're doing this complex tax strategy and blah, 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 and we're going to do all this different stuff. And they want to show you their acumen by showing you what they're doing. And I think that puts a lot of people off. You're like, come on, man. Like, don't come over the top of all this stuff. Like, I know my profession, and they're wanting to prove their acumen by presenting you with this. And that's their first interaction with you. And that's like, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. So maybe I want to work with him. Maybe I want to send clients over to him. But again, like I said, don't just be overly verbose and all of that. In the first interaction, just it's a friendly. We're all business owners here. We're all trying to make a living. Then again,
yeah.
So
absolutely. Maybe one other piece to add in there on my side that I'm thinking about is like a practical in.
Yeah.
Is if you have a client situation that's going on, assisting the client in locating a tax professional that can help them with it, and you leading that before you bring the client into the conversation with the tax professional, like if this is a new person to you, like a new tax professional you're trying to become friendly with, of, hey, I have this client situation, here are the pieces that I'll pay you for a consultation, but, and usually a tax professional will say no, like first one's free, here are the pieces that are going on in this situation, here's where I have concerns. Where do you have concerns? Like, what should we be looking at? What are we missing? It, you know, because it immediately gets you in a collaborative mode with that tax professional. It lets them see the duty of care that you take in the relationship. And you don't have to put any skin in the game in terms of like putting the client in front of this tax professional yet, because you can just give them the scenario and say, this is what's going on. What do you think? And it's not salesy at all. It's like, let's just get into a scenario and work this thing out, and you demonstrating in that scenario the value that you bring, that's going to speak a lot to a tax professional. So a good like actual practical strategy there for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to finish this right now. Thank you for this. It's been a valuable use of our time, because CPA tax talk is always powerful. I'm going to give you three quick questions. I call it the rapid fire round, right? So what is your biggest tax pet peeve?
My biggest tax pet peeve is when
somebody comes in and talks about real estate and say this, you can depreciate and all this other stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I would say my biggest tax pet peeve is when people like complain about the relationship and the current situation that they're in without like trying to make a change around it. Like, I really don't like when people don't have self-agency in their situation. And so like getting into that proactive mode, and like, if you don't like something about how your current income tax situation's working, figure it out, or just realize that that's what the cost of the thing is, right? Like, I hear a lot of advisors will complain about how much they pay in taxes, and it's like, okay, well, the game is played, and there are only so many ways you can play this game.
Yeah.
And if you're not playing the game, that's on you. Like, so, you know, that's probably my biggest pet peeve, you know.
You sound like all of social media right now. Everybody wants to complain and nobody has any solutions. Part two, most common misconception about CPAs. And I got one for you. I got something on that one.
Most common misconceptions about CPAs, that we all do taxes. So
boom.
Yeah, it's, you know, the tax industry within the CPA world is actually a pretty small fraction of it. Yeah. And even within taxes, there are a bunch of different niches within it. And so when somebody, when you're at the cocktail party and somebody says, oh, I'm a CPA, don't just assume that they do income taxes, because
That's 100%.
We do a lot of different stuff.
That's what I was going to say. And lastly, what's one thing you wish more people asked their tax professionals?
Basically, I think the one thing I think people should ask their tax professionals more is for planning engagements.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the time in the normal CPA model, like my firm doesn't run like this at all. Like we're planning, really planning centric.
Yeah.
But in most CPA firms, and then especially for advisors working with their clients, a lot of the times the CPA acts like a waiter, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know, or at a, they act like a fast food cash register. Like if you want a hamburger, you got to come up and order the hamburger. If you want a tax return, you have to come up and hand us the documents and we'll give you the tax return, instead of seeing it like how I see it, which is, this is a situation that needs to be proactively managed. I'm the one who knows how the rules work for the most part. I'm the one that knows the situation. And so for me to come and say, you know, hey, Kevin, I looked in your QuickBooks. Your profit is higher than what we were expecting it to be. I know I told you to make an estimated payment for this, but you actually need to make an estimated payment for that.
Yeah.
But looking at what you got in your cash right now, that might not be a good move. So when you get your next big brokerage check, we need to put this much more aside and make the third quarter bigger. It's like you need somebody that's going to be like that if you've got more complexity. And so I think the biggest mistake I see people make is they get mad when that situation isn't happening.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're at the fast food counter.
You didn't ask for it.
You didn't ask for it, versus are you at the restaurant where the waiter's looking at your table and saying, she ran out of a drink, I need to get her a new drink.
Exactly.
And just realizing like, what kind of situation are you in with the tax, like the tax preparer? And don't get mad when you're not getting Michelin star treatment at McDonald's, right? So that's another, you know, mistake I see people make.
Well, you're not wrong, because that is absolutely the case. Everybody, every time a person complains about their tax professional, it's because they didn't ask them what they did. They just assumed that this is what they do. But I've always said, I said, they're just going to do your taxes. You didn't ask them to do anything else. If you want that the other levels of service, it's going to come with a cost, but that's what you're going to get if you get those other levels of service. But don't assume just because you say, hey, you're my tax person, that they're going to go into your QuickBooks, go and do your bookkeeping, go and make sure that everything's reconciled. Don't assume that, because that's something that is ancillary or in addition to what you're paying for. That's just my two cents. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Catherine, thank you for joining the Nine Innings Podcast. I appreciate this. It's tax season. Any last word? Well, first, tell the people where they can find you. Tell the people where, because you have a podcast. Tell the people a little bit about it.
Yeah. So, so my specialty for those of you listening is, you know, we specifically work with advisors, RIA, IBD. So I don't work with, you know, people that don't have advisory practices typically. And so our focus is really on doing the planning work for them. I run a model very similar to an advisory practice. So we start with doing an assessment, seeing what's going on. Sometimes people just need a second set of eyes, because like, it's like going to a car mechanic. Like, he's telling you need to replace the engine. Do you really need to replace the engine? Like, you don't know, right? Unless you actually talk to, you know, multiple people. So oftentimes it's that. Sometimes it's, you know, people just want a more proactive planning focus on how they're running their practice. Like if you're growing 30, 40% a year, driving, looking through the rearview mirror of how you're getting your estimated payments done is not going to work for you. So, you know, we structure things that way. So for people who are interested, I always say best way to get initially connected with me is actually LinkedIn, because then we can have a quick, immediate conversation. I can get you like pointed in the right direction of what resources I think you need for what your situation is. And then if we want to talk, you know, we've got a direct line. So LinkedIn's always the best way to get me, but our website, I think, is like dominion.cpa. But I always tell people LinkedIn, because then you just go straight to me and we just have start having a conversation. I can send you what you need, but that's the
Thank
best
you.
Ways.
As always, this has been a powerful conversation. It is tax season, so if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. If you're an RIA or an IBD, reach out to Catherine. She will help you find the way. Catherine, thank you for joining the Nine Innings Podcast, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again.
I appreciate you. Enjoy. Thank you so much.
We got Catherine Tindall of Dominion Enterprise Services talking about taxes. It's tax season, and we're having that conversation now because it's important if you're a business owner to understand that you got to pay those quarterlies. Or we need to be doing tax planning yesterday, not today, yesterday. Get you a good tax professional on your team so you're not necessarily doing it all at once and having to pay significant fines or a significant check to the government that you think you don't necessarily owe. Pay the safe harbor. Make sure you're paying your quarterlies, and we will be here for you. Thank you guys for joining the 90s podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Don't forget my book, MLB to CFP, live on Apple and Amazon. You have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule an appointment. Follow us on all social media channels at MLB to CFP. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. And today, we're talking taxes. If you're a business owner, reach out. If you're a high income individual, reach out. This is what we do. I love what I do. Thank you guys. Stay humble, stay safe, my friend. I'll see you again soon.